How you doing, guys? What did we just do?
We're sitting in John Hunt's living room.
Yeah, right
John now. Hunt's here with us, and we just shot 4 pieces of content: an unboxing and 3 box max.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think they all came out decently.
Yeah, I think I had some huge guffaws.
Yes,
yeah, I think they're going to be really solid episodes.
Yeah, and what did we do in between the episodes? Maybe there's an inside look. We watched some of Taskmaster.
We did. Yep.
We watched. John's been showing us these SNES randomizers, or
yeah, all clips from Vinesaw. So I've been watching a lot of lately. I don't usually watch streamers, but he's really kind of, I've really kind of been enjoying his YouTube replays that he's done.
We watched a Vine compilation for about like a half hour.
Yeah, like 2 different, like, you know, basic Vine compilations. I just love that.
Just anime. Classics.
Yeah, just to set the scene, because usually we have some downtime because Nina has to clean the kitchen.
and we dump
we
footage.
We are terrible men.
We dump footage.
Sometimes Matt is here, like he'll wake up really late and like show up and be like, hey, is there any like mac and cheese left for me? But we're like, can you do a job please, Matt? And they'd be like, yeah, I can help. But like, he wants to do like an assembly line with Nina, which just sort of makes it harder. And you're like, yeah, thanks. Anyway, I'm just trashing Matt on the Patreon podcast.
He will not hear this
podcast. He won't.
This is not.
He's not a patron.
He's not a patron. No.
Not be a patron.
No. If anything, I pay him. I'm on his Patreon.
So
when he records a podcast about how much fun he had at Boxback, I'll get to listen to it.
But yeah, so usually during that downtime, we watch things like Vine compilations.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sometimes there's like video games going. I really like the idea of having a video game going.
I totally could if I just didn't today, you know. My SNES with my Alpha NT. My Super NT is right there with my game cart, so.
This is the official end of the studio. We've moved out of it entirely.
Yep.
So, like, this is the first shoot we've had since not having a studio.
Yeah.
And we're therefore $700 in profit.
That's a really good feeling. Yeah. How do you feel about not having a studio, though?
I'm good with it. We had a studio for, what, 2 years?
Yeah.
So that's cool. I remember when we were talking, we were sitting in this room going, wouldn't it be nice to have dedicated space?
Yeah.
And then we did it, and it was a really expensive thing to do, but it also was... It enabled Junt SNES, it enabled No Views, it enabled some holiday specials and bag trashes and all kinds of fun stuff.
You want to do a little bit of retrospective, though. Wasn't the first studio kind of a more fun and utilized space than the second?
It was a better hangout space.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But the truth is we did Junt SNES in the second studio.
Yeah, which was really, that was kind of the pinnacle of studio work for me.
And there was a lot of space, which made it nice.
Yeah. You could really spread out. You were never cramped.
Yeah.
Right.
The original studio was kind of small.
Gave Matt plenty of space to pace around.
Yes. For EJ to be like, you're shaking the fucking camera. one thing that I don't think I've ever talked about anywhere is the first studio, there was an event in like 2018 where we had a horrible hurricane or something like it.
Yeah.
Big tropical storm. And there was a huge down tree that basically disallowed anybody in my neighborhood to get to their houses.
Yeah.
And so we had to sleep at my parents one night, and then we decided to sleep at the studio, me, Nina, and Gloria. When Gloria was, you know, one. And we decided to sleep over at the studio on that futon that folds out.
Yep.
And I don't think they would have liked to know that we were sleeping there because it was like...
It was kind of an emergency situation.
But it was helpful to... And there were also times where, especially like right after having the baby, because Gloria was like brand new when we got the first studio.
Yep.
Nina would have to pee very urgently on the way home from like work or something. And she could stop at the studio because it was closer. And she would, like, pee in the studio.
Yeah, it's, like, 12 minutes closer. So
there are all these sort of nice things about it.
It was really nicely located.
I like the Chrissy shoot we had there.
That was fun.
That was fun.
Oh, the first studio.
The after hours we did there was great.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was a good time.
Yeah.
We also, hung out with Chrissy there and watched, like, some movie that she wanted us to watch.
Yeah.
Whatever. I can't remember what it was called, though.
I can't either.
It was about, like, I don't know, like a futuristic world where...
I know what you're talking about.
It was very, like, B-movie, you know, fantastic, I remember.
Yes, she was really into it.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was good.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was, like, an independent thing.
Is it, like, PvP or something? It was, like, some
initialism. I don't remember what it was called. Anyway, what have you been up to, EJ?
Well, in life? Nothing too much. I've been playing a lot of Pokemon Sword and Shield, so
yeah,
it's just like one of those things where it's like,
once, is that the new one? I don't know.
Yeah, it's the newest Pokemon. It's on Switch, Nintendo Switch. And it's just one of those things where, you know, everyone goes to bed, and then you're just like, I'm gonna just catch some Pokemon, fill up my Pokedex. Like, yeah, you don't have to think too hard. You just have to like look up things on Bulbapedia and be like, okay, that's how that Pokemon evolves. Okay, yeah. And then you fill it out. It's like, it's just like some task to keep your mind busy, but not too strenuous because you're tired. That's one of those. It really works out because you don't need like reflexes. You know,
right.
You don't need Twitch reflexes. You don't have to like get good at the game.
You just groove into it.
Yeah. You just go, relax. You enjoy. And I've been watching this TV show, New Pope, which is a sequel series to Young Pope with Jude Law. But this time it has John Malkovich. He's the new Pope.
That's on my list to watch, starting with Young Pope.
And it is just my jam. It is just like, it's kind of pretentious in some ways, but it's like really like playful and fun.
Right.
So, and John Malkovich is giving a great performance. Jude Law.
I've always liked John Malkovich.
Yeah. Jude Law in the previous season is a great performance. So it's like a standout performance in these actors that they get to play around. And also it has to do with a lot of the like drama and politics of being the Pope, which I really like, kind of like House of Cards, but I think done a little bit better. So there's some political intrigue. So it's really fun, and it's fun to look at things like all the, you know, all that Sistine Chapel shit and stuff like
yeah.
that.
So, yeah. We went to last time we recorded one of these. I was headed to the Cape Codder for the indoor water park birthday celebration, and then we did it. The room ended up being this really cool, like, there was two stories, and we don't have a two-story house, so it had like this like winding staircase, and it had like this like big gas fireplace you could turn on with like a light switch and stuff that Gloria was really into. It was a good time, and we went to the water park a bunch of times, and one particular time they kicked us all out of the toddler area urgently.
Oh, yeah.
They're like, everybody out. Oh. And we were like, oh, somebody must have puked or something, right? And sure enough, like, on our last day when we were going to go to the water park for a final time for Glow, she was, like, holding her stomach, crying on the floor. Like, she was constipated. There was something crazy. And then she got a horrible fever. And, like, suddenly we were in, like, sick mode. Like, Gloria's in trouble kind of a thing. So we, like, kind of rushed home while she was, like, delirious and passing out. And then she broke out into like hives. She had like hives all over her body, and she was she was scratching the hell out of them. So they're like, they were all bloodied and scabbed and stuff. And so like we got her Benadryl, and that helped a lot. And then the fever came down eventually with some Tylenol. And then she more or less stabilized. And then I mentioned like I was going to take a few days off because like Nina was going to do her procedure and then didn't. So we had those days off, but we ended up spending Monday with Glow instead of her going to daycare, because she was sick and we didn't want to send her in. So we went to the Disney Wrentham outlet, where it's like a Disney store, which we've talked about on like the Galleria podcast and stuff, like when we used to have those stores in malls, but they actually do have one kind of like 50 minutes away. She's been really into the Little Mermaid. We got her a bunch of Little Mermaid toys. She's also into the show called Tots. Speaking of Chrissy, she actually animates that show, or she's a storyboard artist for Tots.
Oh, wow.
And Gloria is really into Tots. It's about like a fleet of storks that deliver animal babies to their families.
That's pretty cool.
But the main characters are a penguin and a flamingo who only together do they have the power of a full stork. And so she loves this game where we deliver animal babies in the house. Like we find like stuffed animals and there's like a theme song like bringing this baby home and we have to run around the house and stuff. But then yeah, like work, like this really urgent thing came up, like this big upgrade that we're not at all prepared for, had to happen immediately because there was a Chrome 80 release coming out. And that basically took over my entire 3-day off thing. Like I had to like give that all my attention. So I didn't even get to enjoy that. And then Thursday and Friday, I got a fever and got really sick. You can still hear the congestion in my voice from a week ago. So I ended up having to stay home for 2 days, which pushed me back further. And I've been like coughing and sneezing and blowing my nose straight for a week. And it's awful because eventually you got to go back to work. and you're there and you have to like give it like I had to give a presentation to a class for an hour on like networking. Mm-hmm. And they're just, everybody's so aware of the fact that you're a sick person and everybody doesn't want to get sick and it's flu season and stuff. And so everybody's like, stay away from me or you're still sick, or it's this thing you want to skip over about yourself that you just can't skip over. Or they're like, why are you here? You know, I'm like, well, cause I got to come in at some point. Like, no, you don't. They just contest that point.
Drink some water. Take care of yourself.
Yeah. Are you drinking? Yeah. Stretch.
Self-care.
Stretch. Self-care.
So it's a, it's made for a really tough week, but in terms of entertainment, I've just been, well, I've been trying to download Mortal Kombat 11 onto my Switch and it hasn't been working.
Oh, really?
Like, it keeps failing out and it's upset about my SD card, but all of my other games are cool. Hmm. Yeah, it's really weird. I got really obsessed with, there's this documentary on the WWE Network about Paul Heyman. Are you familiar with Paul Heyman?
No.
He's the guy who established ECW, which was this 90s wrestling promotion that was like all about being extreme. Like, he didn't pay anybody anything. And it's a really interesting story about essentially a company that was very, very popular, but never matured past a certain point. So like they would make $22,000 in an evening for merchandise at a live show, but like it wasn't enough to pay everybody back.
Yeah.
Mm. And they were too big to be small and too small to be big. Mm-hmm. And they've basically like, when the company went out of business, they were selling their largest amount of shows, selling their most amount of merchandise. This is a really weird place for a company to be in. But they got bought by WWE, and the guy, he's Brock Lesnar's agent. He's like that character. Mm-hmm. And he's a great orator, and he's like a bullshit artist, and he's just really comedic. And I've just been sort of obsessed. He had a lot of really wise things to say, too. Like, he was talking about how his favorite thing is hanging around young talent, because experience tells you what not to do. And so experience is like the biggest inhibitor of innovation and creativity. I was pondering that where I was like, is that really all experience is? Is you like to think experience tells you how to do things, but does experience really just tell you like, don't step there, don't try that? Is that mostly what experience is?
I think maybe.
Yeah.
No, yeah, not always, but I mean, there is like...
Is that the majority of it?
I think with experience, you can lose some of that chaotic...
Risk-taking
creativity, maybe, because you'll go through well-worn paths.
Right.
So I think there's some truth to that. I think you could, I mean, with experience, you also, you know, perfect your craft. You know, get skilled, but I don't think that's I think there's a yin and yang to it.
He was saying there were a lot of times during the company's history where he had to do something unethical, like tell somebody that a check was going to clear when it was definitely going to bounce, or he had to just lie to somebody. And he was like, you know, people would say that it was unethical, but like, you're lying to get through the next 24 hours, and that next 24 hours sometimes gave you another year.
Yeah.
Like, that was just enough to get you through, you know. So that's an interesting thing too, is like, just, I think maybe when you're trying to grow, it's like, think of it in terms of like, if you were utterly homeless, if you had nothing and you had to like re-enter society from scratch, like you'd have to bullshit your way through a few things. You'd have to kind of fake your way through, you know? Yeah.
Cause people would just write you off.
Right. Right. Yeah. What have you been up to, John?
Well, a few things. So I've been trying to convert one of the rooms of disaster into a computer lab, and I decided how I want to focus my collection a little bit of old computers.
Yep.
It's also going to be a big gaming space. You'll see it on content in the medium distant future. So I sold some computers I had, and I'm actually buying one new one that I want for my collection.
Oh.
So shifting some things around, just doing a lot of cleaning. Haven't been doing much gaming lately. Was playing a lot of Final Fantasy, but when I went to Chicago for a week for work, I didn't play, and then when I got back, I was kind of not into playing anymore. It kind of like snapped me out of it. So I've been trying to spend my time in different ways. And I also, while I was cleaning upstairs, I found my ocarina. I actually have an ocarina because,
that's what was cool about it.
And I was actually going to try to really learn it this time instead of, you know, just pretending.
Can you play it at all?
I can play a note. It's not very good yet. I need to get a lot better.
It doesn't sound bad.
I do actually like the ocarina a lot as an instrument. So I did buy one probably 2008, and it's just been sitting up there ever since.
No? But you were never a fan of that game.
I like the music, certainly, and I like the concept. I think, I don't know what really drove me to buy one.
Yeah.
I'm not sure. I don't remember. It was a long time ago.
But... could have learned Zelda's lullaby.
Yeah, and for television, I have been watching Taskmaster, of course.
Yes.
The great British panel show. New season of 8 out of 10 Cats Does Countdown, which I love, and the conclusion to BoJack Horseman, which is wrapping up, which is one of my all-time favorite shows.
I've never, like, watched that show at all.
Yeah, it's a little tough to get into. The first season's real kind of weak.
Oh, yeah.
But after that, it really kind of gets in. And it was about time for it to end.
So what's it about? Like a depressed horse or something?
Yeah, the horse is a superstar. Like, he was a superstar in the 80s, and now he's like a faded star, but he still has money. He lives in Hollywood. And it's just him trying to, like, find himself in his 40s and, like, making lots of mistakes, getting involved with drugs and alcohol, well, having success, having failure, until he eventually kind of all catches up with him, you know? Mm-hmm. It seems, you know, it's a cartoon, but it has some really heavy and dark themes in it, which I really enjoy. Some cool stuff.
Well, the Oscars are coming up.
Yeah.
We used to actually watch all the, at least Best Pictures, and usually as many other ones as we could find, right?
I gotta tell you, it feels so good to not have that pressure.
It does.
I miss it a little bit. I miss the pageant.
I do sort of, too. Maybe next year.
Maybe next year.
Maybe.
Well, you know, I understand, especially with GLOW for you, Frankie, it's tough to, like, block out that much
time. I could, you know,
for movies.
I think I could probably swing it if I did it on my commute and just left Nina out entirely.
Yeah.
But that was, like, some of the fun was, like, we would all watch, like, you would come over and stuff.
Yeah, we used to do these days where we just, like, come over and watch 4 movies, like, in a day, you know?
Since we last talked, I did see Parasite, which I thought was really good.
Oh, yeah, you liked it, yeah.
Yeah.
I'd like to watch one of these movies one of these days. Yeah. No, but all I can watch is Paul Heyman.
Yeah, just like unspoilery, because I think it's good to go into this movie without knowing too much. But I think it's just really good, a really good family dynamic. There's a family, it centers around a family, and the dynamic between the family is just really strong. It's really good theming. It has a good, like, theme about class, but it doesn't, like, hit you over the head.
Right.
And it's really funny, but it's also got, like, a thriller element to it. So it's kind of like Get Out in that way, where it's surprising. It has a good theme, and it's got good suspense, but
is it a horror?
It's
thriller.
It's like a mishmash of things. I would say it ends up being kind of like a thriller, but it's a lot of things, and it is pretty funny.
The big movie this year that I really wanted to love, because I'm such a Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul fan, was El Camino.
Oh, yeah.
And I didn't dislike it. I should be clear, but, like, it's still artfully made. The performances are good. I'm happy to see old characters again. But this for anybody who's curious, this is the story of Jesse Pinkman after Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
And it was, you know... those guys have been so good at only telling story that actually advances the story.
Yeah.
And this was really, like, okay, so it's only a 2-hour movie. Anytime you're flashing back to his period of captivity with Todd, it's just redundant. We knew that he was in captivity with Todd.
Yeah.
So that's all, again, it's interesting and enjoyable to spend more time in Breaking Bad, but that's all it is.
Yeah.
It doesn't go any further. The characters that held him in captivity have all died. He took vengeance out on them in the actual show. So they actually had to, like, create these new characters that were, like, there during that time that he can sort of get a little vengeance on.
Yeah.
And that's, like, just retreaded.
And this you kind of wanted the story to be after he gets away.
Yeah.
And so this is, they're just going through mechanics of what you could have even imagined yourself.
It's all perfectly inferred by him just driving away in that car in that last episode. It's like, okay, we know that he needs to, like, get away from cops, probably. We know that he needs to escape, get a new identity. He probably finds the vacuum guy somehow. And so this movie shows, he found the vacuum guy, and the vacuum guy didn't want anything to do with him. And then so he had to... and it gets a little video gamey, too, where he has to go get money to pay the vacuum guy. And there's also, like... there was a sort of a whole opening where he's just trying to stay away from cops, and he ends up at Badger and Skinny Pete's house. And that's all really enjoyable stuff because those are great characters. And they do a little something there where Skinny Pete, like, really admires him and really wants to help him. And that's all sweet and everything. But again, where does it take us? Yeah. I already knew those guys were close. So, yeah, I thought for some reason the movie was going to maybe be 10 years after. Yeah. Or something like, or the second half would be 10 years after.
That, like, yeah, I think that would be more interesting. Like, even just do something different. It could be a drama.
Yeah.
You know? Like a straight-up drama with none of the suspense stuff that they
and
had in there.
Yeah, totally. Totally. And to me, the number one question when he is escaping in the last episode is, how is he going to make this up to Brock, the little kid, whose mom died as a result of this, who was poisoned as a result of Mr. White? And, like, that's... And they almost don't acknowledge Brock in the entire movie until the end, where he writes him a letter. So I'm just like, what is this movie?
Yeah, I saw it too, and I don't know.
I was really disappointed
because it has a lot of things that you like about the series, like the kind of detail porn where they're going through the mechanics, but it doesn't really work if you're not pushing through the story. So.
Yeah, because Breaking Bad had that detail porn, but it was pushing towards something always.
Yeah.
You were always on the edge of your seat about, like, what's going to happen to this Walter White guy.
Yeah.
But once that's concluded, it's, well, now I want to know what's going to happen to this Jesse Pinkman guy.
Yeah.
And this movie is not about what happens to Jesse Pinkman. We already got that.
Yeah.
I want to know, like, how does he get past the trauma that he's experienced?
Yeah.
And we don't see any of that in this movie.
No, you don't. And, well...
In fact, they have him engage in violence again.
Yeah.
And I'm like, no more violence for Jesse. Like, the close of the show should have been the close of that.
Yeah.
So yeah, let nobody accuse me of deciding that I like a movie before I see it.
Yeah.
Because, like, I was, like, in the can for this thing.
Better Call Saul is going to be starting soon, so.
I love Better Call Saul. Oh. I really don't think Better Call Saul has, like, anything wrong with it.
So far.
could always F up, but
give it a movie.
I mean, like, I heard from Vince Gilligan, there was an interview with Vince Gilligan where he was saying that he was like, well, I kind of wanted to subvert expectations. So, like, I thought of it, like, maybe it does end with Jesse going to jail and not getting away. And he ran that by the Better Call Saul writers. And they were like, don't you dare do that. Like, you can't do that. So I think those guys actually are really, I think Vince is good. I think that team is great. And he didn't do that El Camino with that team.
Yeah, oh.
It was just himself.
Yeah, that's why.
Yep.
He needs the magic. I think he needs that good team to bounce off of.
Yeah.
Maybe there's a little bit of a George Lucas yes man thing going
on. Yeah, I'd say so. Or just like those guys just make you go deeper.
Yeah.
Like he did Vince Gilligan did the pilot for Breaking Bad by himself. And it's a good pilot, but it's not Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It doesn't go nearly as deep, so. My Breaking Bad rant. That's the only thing I want to say about movies this year. I didn't like that one.
Yeah.
I saw, was it 1917?
Oh, yeah.
I like that. I thought it was really, you know, they did the whole movie as a continuous shot thing.
Is it just Saving Private Ryan, but like the opening scene, but the whole movie?
I thought it was a lot more enjoyable as a film than Saving Private Ryan was. I'm not a fan of that film.
Yeah.
This felt a lot more,
you know,
real.
I'm not a fan of Saving Private Ryan. Either. I only saw it once. I saw it back then. I thought it was boring.
Yeah, this
you have to watch
really
it like it's
realistic.
Homework.
Some incredible amounts of detail in the sets, which is really kind of above what I expected out of the film.
Mm-hmm.
Just really solid work.
You know? Yeah.
It's good stuff.
Well, I hear it's great.
Yeah, I mean, I like, was it Sam Mendes?
Yeah.
Yeah.
He knows how to make a movie, that guy.
Yeah. He knows how to make some movies.
Other
than that, you know, I filmed an EJ review about the Weber's Jumbo Joe. It's actually a grill I didn't get from Air Joe for once.
Joe
yeah, despite the name.
Jumbo Joe, not by Air Joe. It was a deep clearance from Target. It's I think it's like a $70 or $80 grill. And I got it for $20.
Wow,
so
that's a good deal.
It was on deep clearance, so I think it works surprisingly well. So that's going to be a good.
That's going to be fun.
It's going to be a good video.
You know, when I was doing my lab stuff, I took a little bit of video as well. I took some before video of the current state, and as I was trying out some computers, I was testing out. So maybe make that. I'll make that into something. Who knows?
Yeah,
maybe you'll see.
I think people would love to see more John Hunt content.
Yeah.
See more butts.
See more butts. Yeah.
Well, that's I'll probably spend the next week or two editing the stuff we shot today.
Yeah.
And not really thinking about anything else.
Yeah.
Do you want to just... do the patrons have access to the Dead to Us part?
Yeah, we should probably post it. The wedding documentary. Just
be a nice gift to the patrons.
Yeah, sure. I'm good with that.
If you wanted to buy it, you can purchase it now.
Yeah.
Digital or Blu-ray copy.
I'll send you all the links.
So that's a nice suggestion,
AJ. I like it.
It costs us a lot of money. No,
it was a good day of shooting, guys.
It was fun. So. Now we're all real tired. We're probably going to go out to eat somewhere.
Yeah, we got pasta comas. Now we have to eat some protein.
I'm going
to
eat protein. I'm going to, wherever we go, it's going to be protein.
Yeah. That's what Nina was saying. She was looking at us all and going, you guys got to get your protein in.
I'm just going to eat a big bowl of peanut butter.
Yeah. So we're going to go eat our protein.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
Okay, bye.